Welcome back to Brain Body Movement, the podcast for those interested in everything nutrition, training, and mindset. I'm one of your hosts, Brad, and I'll be joined by my co-host, Brock. If you're currently dieting or have dieted in the past, we'll give you 8 tips to make sticking to your diet easier. Also, if you enjoy this episode or previous episodes, could you please rate and review our podcast? We want to spread helpful information to people that need it. Thanks again. All right, enjoy the show.
So the key to losing fat is a calorie deficit.
Correct.
Now, yeah, principle of energy balance. You need to consume fewer calories than you burn. Now, sounds super simple and easy, but sticking to that calorie deficit is the key and being able to sustain it for a long enough period of time in order to see results. Now, this is where most people slip up. They'll be able to sustain a calorie deficit for 3, 4, 5 days, maybe even 2 weeks, and then, oh, I've made an error and I've gone over and I'm taking 3 steps forward, 2 steps backward. So let's lay out some tips in order to have people be able to sustain a calorie deficit for a long enough period to be able to achieve results. Now, there's this wanker on Instagram, TikTok at the moment going around being like, diets aren't meant to be sustainable. You're deliberately trying to lose fat. Yes, I get it. But they need to be sustainable long enough, long term, in order for you to see results. And then calories can come back up to maintenance levels when you're happy with the body composition that you're at. So yes, they are sustainable, but you need to be, yes, they are unsustainable, but they need to be sustainable enough in order for you to achieve results. So there is a balance here.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the first tip, and this is probably the most common one that I see, and I'm pretty sure you'd be the same, is people go too large of a deficit and then they find themselves ravenous and hungry. And let's say they're in like a 40% deficit and they can't sustain that for any longer than 3 or 4 days. And then they break and binge. So maybe just place yourself in a slightly smaller deficit. So rather than 40%, go to 30% or 20% and see if you can sustain that for a longer period of time.
Yeah, it's that's if they're tracking their calories and they know what they're doing. Because I think some people, they're going to go on a diet and then they change everything. And that's also the issue, because of they've created such a massive deficit through cutting out carbs, cutting out all your sugary foods and drinks and alcohol and everything. And then you got like this, you're used to eating all these different foods and all these calories. And then bam, it's just like even probably slice in half, maybe more. And then you're like, whoa, that's a bit of a shock. You might go for like a week or two, maybe. And then things start to set in and you're just like irritable and too food focused. So that's why we do suggest, yeah, maybe just lower that deficit a little bit. Just bring the calories back up a bit and actually like feel good dieting. There's obviously going to be some uncomfortable situations where you'll be hungry and everything. That's a part of dieting. That's normal. But if you're constantly like that, the deficit's way too large. You want it to be a good endeavor to continue on long-term sustainable fat loss as well. Because if you're like, say you like, maybe, because it could be in phases. You could like lose 5 kilos, 10 kilos, and then another 5 or 10. But if your first attempt is like really bad and you've gone so hard, you might say to yourself, I don't want to do this anymore because it wasn't sustainable for me. I hate dieting. I just crashed and felt like shit or whatever. And now you've associated that dieting with that kind of method. Whereas it's like, well, you could have just brought up your calories a bit more, felt a bit good, and then go along your little merry way. Whereas I think a lot of people, yeah, they go pretty hard out the gates, which is understandable, which is sometimes what I do as well, to get that buy-in. But it's also like you start bringing up your calories throughout the diet, which is what I do. And I find a lot more results with people with that approach instead of hard diet, just stick with this, like the exact numbers every single day. You can't have this food, can't have that, can't go out, got to bring Tupperware everywhere, got to bring your scale everywhere. It's just like, well, how about you just like relax, mate? Just one thing at a time. The deficit's too big. Just bring it up, bring it up.
Yeah, that is a great point. And it's something that I do myself as well, is start with an initial large deficit and that gets results and that gets by, and that's be like, okay, this is working. And then you can bring the calories back up when hunger inevitably rises and you're still in a deficit and you'll still lose fat and weight, but it'll just be at a slightly slower rate. So, yes, you will lose fat. Yes, it will be slower, but you'll actually be able to continue to see that rate of fat loss rather than this huge deficit, massive weight loss initially, and then I can't stick to this any longer. Break, binge, overeat. Okay, I'm a failure. And it's that's just that mindset piece of I can't do this. I can't sustain this deficit. I can't lose fat in the way that I'm wanting to. So get that buy-in early, lose some weight in that first 1 to 2 weeks, and then bring the calories back up a little bit to a sustainable level where you're not walking around feeling like an absolute zombie, training performance sucks, you're waking up several times throughout the night because your body's hungry and craving food. It's just that little bit more food will make it, I was going to say more enjoyable, but it'll make it suck less. And your quality of life will be a little bit better. You won't be as dictated by food.
And just framing this whole episode around like you're not sticking to your diet. So we are helping you with certain tactics that can help you stick to your diet for a long term, for a long period of time. So you do see the fat loss that you want to. So if you are doing one of these things that we're going to say today and it's working, you don't need to change it. But if it's not and you're feeling like shit or you're maybe in a plateau or just things aren't working well, then maybe it's something to look at. But I just wanted to frame it of like, if it's not working, then maybe try these certain things. Because some of these may work for certain people, because remember, everyone's different. But we're just going with like what we have seen in the real world and some of the evidence that shows like s specific things that can really help out your diet long term.
Okay, and that brings us into tip number two. And that is to get 2 grams of protein per kilogram of lean body mass or your goal weight, and preferably from whole foods. Now, why whole foods? Because they're more satiating and they'll help keep you fuller for longer. Whereas if you're relying on shakes, protein bars, protein cookies, whatever it may be, that's been artificially engineered to have you eating more and buying more of their product. That may lead to you overeating and therefore not sticking to your diet. So, protein, pivotal for satiety. And yes, if you are going through whole foods and it gets to the end of your day and you're just falling short, then supplement, but preferably hit that protein entirely through whole foods.
Yeah, easy way. Whatever your weight is, basically just double it, unless you're like overly overweight, but it's a good rule of thumb. Protein, great for whole foods, because I do find myself sometimes eking in a bit more protein powder than I need to and a bit more protein bars than I would like. And you do notice a difference. Not only that, the amount of calories coming from like those specific bars as well, because they've got, fats and carbohydrates in them and everything, and that fiber. But like eating whole food, like the volume is there, and it does fill you up a lot more than this compact kind of bar. And remember, those bars are quite processed as well. It's great for convenience, and if you need it, like you said, at the end, or if there is a specific time that you might want to have it, go for it. But when you are on a diet and you find yourself not sticking to it, which is what we're talking about. If you just go, all right, I'm going to plan out these meals and actually plan out a protein source in each single meal with a whole food, like chicken or meat or fish or whatever it is, or tofu. That is your main source of protein. And that's what you can work out how many grams you would need to have. So you don't need to supplement with other things. If you're finding yourself only having like a little bit of protein here or there, and by the end of the day, it's like 80 grams. Well, then you need to increase your protein. And you're like, oh, Brad, but I can't eat that much protein in one sitting. It's like, okay, maybe you need to spread out your meals, or maybe let's have a look at adding in a protein shake later on. But a lot of it is coming down to like, what can you stick with long term? And if it's going whole foods, go whole foods for sure.
Yeah, the key is, and I want to reiterate that point, is getting insufficient protein. That's the main point. And if the only way you can do that is through supplementation and protein powders, then yes, we still recommend you do that. However, if you're struggling to stick to a calorie allotment because a lot of your protein is coming from supplements, bars, shakes, cookies, whatever it may be, then this is where opting for whole foods could help you stick to that calorie target. So yes, getting in protein is most important, but if it's making you overeat because you're having a hyper palatable version of protein, like a shake, like a bar, like a cookie, and that's wanting you craving more sweet, and then you go and you eat more sweet and it takes you over your calories, that's where we recommend try and get it all from whole foods. It's more satiating, it'll help keep you fuller for longer, fight off hunger, which is what you essentially want to do when you're dieting, because there's only so much you can willpower yourself through hunger.
Yeah, because some of these supplements, once you have it, you kind of want more. Like some of these
Bars big time.
protein bars, I'm
Bars big
like,
time, man.
oh, I could do a couple. I'm like, oh, it's only 20 grams. I need 40 grams in. She's like, no, it's meant to supplement, not, have a whole meal like with three protein bars. So yeah, it's there to supplement like here and there. Whole foods is just going to be the way to go. And I get the convenience factor with everything else, but it's really like looking at your overall diet when it comes to things like this, because yeah, it and also it's quite expensive, those other supplements, like whereas chicken breasts, don't cost that much.
I see. For me, like a protein bar is used purely for convenience, and that would be like a traveling or caught in a pinch and just want to quickly grab something. That's how I would use it. I wouldn't actually structure a protein bar into my diet. Now, that brings us on to tip number three, which is very similar to the point there about protein and going through whole foods. It's to help with satiety and keep you fuller for longer. And that is to have 12 to 15 grams of fiber per 1,000 calories that you consume. Now, why do you want fiber? Because fiber helps keep you fuller for longer, and it helps fight off hunger. Again, ideally, you want to be getting it from whole food sources. So think fibrous vegetables, your grains like oats, things like that, but not from like a Metamucil or like a source like that. Trying to get your fiber from whole foods, and roughly 12 to 15 grams per 1,000 calories.
Yeah, and that just comes down to making sure you're having your fruit and veggies throughout your day in your complete meals. And I love doing like frozen veg, just nice and easy. Just chuck it
Super
in there.
convenient.
So convenient. Like if you want to go your fresh like veg, that's totally fine as well. But yeah, I just love to have fruit and veg, frozen veg, sorry, with certain meals, and it's just purely convenience and it doesn't go off as well. So and if you're worried that, oh, the fresh veg is a lot better, it's really pretty well the same. So I wouldn't worry about that much. But yeah, the fiber again is just keeping you fuller for longer. And that's very important when it comes to diets, to like sticking to a diet. Like if you're constantly hungry all the time and you're hating life, it doesn't take much for you to snap and just fucking eat everything else. Because that's not what you want. You're like, you want to have a little bit of hunger to know that it's working. You're like, okay, my body's not satisfied right now. That's why I'm hungry. That's okay. Just sit with it and just go, it's all good. Maybe I will go have my meal now. Maybe it is time to eat. But yeah, increasing that fiber content will help with that long term. And you have to also remember when you're eating, like it takes like they say 20 minutes. Who knows exactly, but roughly around 20 minutes for your stomach to tell your brain that you're full. So you need to like slow down and just like eat your food like slowly so that you can get that fiber in so you know that you're actually full instead of I see a lot of people eat their dinner and that, oh, what else can I have? Something sweet. Let's go straight to the fridge.
My dessert stomach's not full.
Exactly. So you just sit with it and you'll find that actually you're right. Because like an hour later, after they've had that other thing, they're like, damn, I'm so full right now. It's like, well, yeah, because you just added extra calories that you probably didn't need if you just had waited. And that's just learning your body.
So the fiber's the big one there, because it will slow down, but you've got to wait for the fiber to kick in to feel the effects of satiety from the slow digestion of the food with the fiber. Now, point number four, to make sticking to a calorie deficit easier is maybe just changing your macronutrient breakdown. So having different macros. Now, let's say you've gone on the interwebs and you've seen that high fat, low carb, high protein is the way to go. So that's what you've gone with. But yet your favorite foods are fruit, rice, and pasta. So you're really, really struggling to stick to this high fat, low carb diet because it contains none of your favorite foods. Just switch the macros around. Consume less fat, consume more carbohydrates, make your diet more enjoyable and therefore more sustainable so you can stick to it for longer. As long as calories and protein are equated for, you will lose the same amount of weight, whether it's high fat or high carb. So you need to find what works best for you, what is the most enjoyable for you, and what you can sustain for a long enough period of time in order to see results. Personally, if I get too high fat and too low carb, I end up wanting to bang my head against the wall. So I know that I need a certain amount of carbs in my diet to at least make it somewhat enjoyable so I can sustain it for long enough in order to achieve the result that I want.
Yeah, it's I've done both. I've done low carb and I've done low fat. I'm more moderate at the moment. I do enjoy a little bit of fat and a little bit of carbs here and there. You really need to know what works best for you. So you and a way to find out is like what are you doing right now? Like, what are you going towards when you're actually eating? Like, look at your plate, look at your last 5 to 10 meals. What have you been eating? And you can tell, like, if you know how to track, you just start tracking those meals and you go, oh, well, or you even just look back and go, well, I do love my rice, and I don't have any veggies or whatever. Or you start to see patterns of like where your food's actually going. And if you are currently on a diet or you're thinking about going on a diet, look back and go, all right, well, if I had tried a diet before, what point did I not stick to it? Like, where was the trigger points? Like, was I saying to myself, I can't have carbohydrates when my whole cupboard is full of carbohydrates? Or do I love fat so much that my whole cupboard is full of fats? Like, you need to know what you like, because and then set out your meal plan from there or whatever you want to do and go, yeah, I'm just going to enjoy these. But like, if you're not sticking to it with that specific diet that someone said on the internet, maybe because, well, they said carb is bad because insulin hypophosphatosis or whatever it's called, then don't do it. You need to be your own scientist, because no one else is here to save you. There will be people, like, no one else is going to eat the food for you. All right, you're the one that's eating the food, so you need to take responsibility for that and plan out what you're actually going to eat. And if something's not working, it needs to change. Now, you do need to give it a little bit of time to figure out if it does work, because I think when people change certain things and if they don't see a result straight away, they're like, oh, it's not working. But sometimes it does take a little bit of time, because there might be other areas that you might be missing. You're like, oh, I changed my carbohydrate source out, like, or whatever. And you're like, well, it's the same amount of calories. Like, you change from, rice to potato or whatever it is. You're just like, maybe it's the same amount of calories. It's like, or you're putting butter with your potatoes now instead of you didn't have that with your rice. So it's just like little things that you got to kind of be your own scientist. And that's why we say track, so you actually know what you're eating. And then you can go, okay, on these certain days, I'm eating a lot more carbohydrates. On these certain days, I'm eating a lot more fats. So like, on the weekends, I have a lot more alcohol or whatever it is. You're being more aware of it and knowing what macros best suits you. And especially around training as well. Like, I love having carbs around training, really helps me fuel. But I'm sure with you, when you go for your runs and stuff, you got to smash those carbohydrates. If you're going for runs and you're low fat, unless you're fat adapted, that wouldn't be a good time. So it really depends on your goals as well.
Yeah, and a further caveat off the back of that is it doesn't have to be the same every day. What has to be the same is your calories, and you need to be in a calorie deficit and the amount of protein you get. But let's say you have a non-training day and you're like, yeah, you know what? I feel like eating more, I don't know, whole eggs today or more peanut butter today, more nuts, more fats of some sort. You can have a higher fat day than what you did the day previous when you did a really long run and you lifted on that day. Like, okay, I need more carbs that day to fuel a run and a training session. So your macros can fluctuate from day to day. What needs to remain consistent is your calorie content and the amount of grams of protein you are consuming, protein being the big one. Okay, now the next point, fifth point, is to have some regular meal timing. Now, why do you want to have some regular meal timing? It's just your body clock. So your body knows, okay, I can expect to have some food now. Okay, I just need to get through to this point and then I can have a meal. Your hunger cues will adapt to having some regular feeding windows. So personally, I know that when it gets to certain times in the day, I'll naturally start to feel hunger because my body's going, you usually eat at this point, so where's our food incoming? Why haven't you fed me yet? And that's where like having a set breakfast, lunch, dinner, or having a set breakfast, pre-workout, post-workout, dinner, or however it is structured for you, that will help because it'll help regulate your hunger cues. And that can also help you distinguish between what is hunger and what is a craving. So if you're sitting down watching TV in between meals and an advert pops up for some sort of food and you go, oh, I'm really hungry. Well, no, you can probably expect that that's more of a craving. Or you're driving home from work on your way to have dinner and you drive past this advertisement, you're like, oh, I really want that. Or I'm about to go home and have dinner. That could be a bit of hunger that's giving me that signal. So having some regular meal timing can help with sticking to a deficit because it's like, okay, I just need to get through to this time to have a meal, and it'll help regulate your appetite and hunger cues.
Yeah, like proper regular meal timing is quite underutilized for people that is very sporadic. So if their normal job, like Monday to Friday, they would probably eat breakfast, then have lunch or a snack when it's like, I don't know what they do, break time or whatever. Smoko, we call it back in the day. And then they would come home, maybe have a little snack right before dinner. And then they would have dessert. That's like a pretty regular person, what they would use for food. Whereas if you're like, this is the time I eat, these are like roughly around the times I eat, that's when you start to regulate all your hunger hormones, just like you were saying. So then you're not hungry pretty well every single day. I know that some people, they're like, oh, I'm not hungry in the morning, but they come to me and they say, oh, I need to have breakfast. I said, why? Why do you need to have breakfast? They're like, oh, I got told I need to have breakfast. I said, well, breakfast is basically just breaking the fast from the night before. That's all it means. So it's like your first meal. So just think of it as your first meal. And if you're used to having your first meal at like 10 o'clock or 11 o'clock, then keep it that way. There's no, because now what you're doing is you're adding another meal in front of your normal meal time. So you're just adding more calories because you think that it's going to be better for you. When really, it's like just have your meal where you normally have it. If you really think you need to bring it earlier, just bring it earlier a little bit, but not like too much, and adding another meal. Have it regular because that's what your body is like used to. And then start to go, okay, from there, like maybe 3 or 4 hours. I don't like pushing it more than like 5 hours, maybe. That's where you start to get like maybe a bit of weird things with your body of like, oh, no, I'm pretty hungry right now. Like, you need to feed me. And then that's where I'm just going to grab
Can
anything.
overeat.
Yeah, it's just like I'm just gonna choose this, grab whatever's convenient. So that's where the regular meal times is, the spread apart for around 3 to 4 hours or so is a good base to have. I do see some people, they do have like say 6 meals a day still, and they say that it works best for them, and that's totally fine. It's just like as long as they're regular and you know what you're having and you're, controlling your calories and you're sticking to the diet and it working for you, go ahead. But if it's like, well, I'm kind of eating at this time, but then that kind of rolls over half an hour and that eats into my other one. So there's even a smaller time where I'm eating. That's when it's like, well, you're pretty well eating all day. Maybe just reduce your meal times, increase the protein in there so you have like sustained energy instead of like always trying to look for your next meal. You're also saving time as well. So you're not always eating all the time. And so you can do other productive stuff with the world, unless you like eating. I don't know. And see how you go, because yeah, everyone's definitely different, and wherever you're sticking from, like if you're having one meal a day, I don't know. Some people need to. That's just like if they've got a lot of weight to lose, sometimes one meal is fine, but keep that regular at least.
Yeah, you want to keep as much regularity with meal timing as possible. And the main reason is just that appetite regulation.
Hmm.
Like you don't want to be getting sent weird hunger signals throughout the time, and then you're having to fight hunger regularly. That's the main point with all of these points we've brought up previously is you want to try and avoid hunger as much as possible, which it is an inevitable part of dieting. But if you can do something like eat at regular windows, eating windows, to avoid that hunger ramping up, then do it because there's only so much you can willpower yourself through hunger, and that's anyone. So a regular meal timing could help in that regard. Okay, now that leads nicely into our next point, which is to avoid snack foods and just snacking in general. Now, that's a big part of that is to do with the appetite regulation aspect of this. So you're having your meals at regular times to try and regulate your appetite. If you're just throwing in a random snack here or there, whenever the little sign of hunger or cravings pops up, then it's going to interrupt that regulation of your appetite. Plus, on top of that, most snack foods are designed to have you overeating. The most snack foods come down the middle of the aisles. They come in wrappers, packaging, and they're designed to have you overeating and buying more of their products so they make more money. They don't care about your health. They don't care about your fat loss goals. They just want more of the money that's in your back pocket. So they engineer the shit out of those foods to have you overeating. Now, if you are to snack, I would plan it into your day similar to like you do your regular meal timing. And I would go for whole foods. So something like a piece of fruit, beef jerky, a pot of Greek yogurt. That would be my go-tos as a way to get yourself through to your next complete meal. But I am very much on the side of avoid snacking altogether and just have complete meals at regular times to get you through to your next meal and regulate your appetite.
Yeah, so you want a snack. That means you're hungry for the most part. So why not just eat your normal meal that you're having? And then if you want the snack after, then go right ahead. But like I said before, like it takes a little bit of time. So you might find, okay, I'm hungry. I'm going to go for a snack. No, I'm going to have my full meal. And then once I've had my full meal, I'm going to wait like 20 minutes, half an hour. And if I want the snack then I can have it. But then I think you'll find that you'll be full from that. You'll be better that you made the decision because what happens is you're just going to be constantly eating throughout the whole day. Every time you're a little bit of hung like a little bit of hunger comes in, I need a snack because I'm hungry. It's like you don't need a snack. You may think you need the snack, but you actually don't. Like the whole point of this quote unquote diet is to lose fat. And if you're snacking all the time, you're adding extra calories on where if you just didn't have it, those calories would have been off your fat and then you would have been out the diet quicker, and then you can enjoy your snacks whenever you want. But you're not sticking to the diet because you're having these snacks all the time. It's like you said, the snacks are mainly highly processed foods, and then you want more. And then you won't even want the food that you've made if you have such a delicious snack. You know, I've got chicken and I've got some veggies in the fridge, or bone broth even, let's say. But I might just have this little bit of snack here. I might just have, a chocolate bar just before I have that. And then you're like, oh, that bone broth doesn't taste very good. Maybe let's just order some Uber Eats. Like that is something that is very normal for people because they've gone from something that would actually work for their goals, like say bone broth or chicken and veg, to I'll just have a cheeky snack because I quote unquote deserve it because I've had such a hard day at work. And then they're like, oh, this is actually so good. There's like 200, 300 calories right there. And then you're like, oh, really? That bone broth does not sound good right now. Why? Because you've gone from like a 10 out of
Highly
10,
palatable.
yeah,
Yeah.
highly palatable to like a bloody 1 out of 10. And the thing is, if you had gotten home and just had the chicken and veg or the bone broth straight away, you would have enjoyed it because you are hungry and you're like, ah, oh, this is delicious, you know? Because you're on a diet, you're obviously low calories. Like that food would actually taste good. Like because you're lacking nutrients or you're lacking calories right now. So most things will taste good. And the thing that the chocolate bar or whatever it is that you have tastes a lot better is because you're on the diet and you're having less calories. So opt for the whole foods first. of your actual complete meal. And if you do want the snack after, just delay it a little bit and then have it. You want to kind of make barriers for yourself so you're not always having these kind of things. And so just don't have it in the house so it's not a temptation and you have to go drive to the store to go get it. Because the more barriers there are, the better. But when it comes to snacking, it's yeah, I don't think I really snack at all. If I was, it would be after a meal that I would have. Like, or it's within the meal, it's like considered like, you know, if I had yogurt, I would put blueberries in it. If I had if I had a protein shake, I would have an apple with it. You know, I don't really snack throughout the day. Usually that's me telling myself, like my body telling me that I'm hungry and I need some sort of nutrients. If it's been an hour, then no, I'm probably just bored or craving something. I think if it's been like 2 or 3 hours, maybe then it is time for a meal. But again, that comes back to the whole, you know when your meal timings are and it'll start to regulate a bit more and you probably won't even need that snack. So maybe just cut the snack out for a bit at least, and then you'll find yourself not even wanting those snacks anymore because you have regular appetite hormones going on. That ghrelin isn't coming in randomly an hour here and an hour there right before fucking dinner. So yeah, when you're trying to stick to a diet, appetite regulation is very important. And having snacks all the time will just throw that out. So just be mindful.
Yeah, so those two points really do go hand in hand, don't they? The regular meal timings and avoid snacking because the snacking can disrupt the regular meal timings. Now, let's say you are adamant to the to with absolute certainty that you are hungry and you're not snacking just because it's there, it's convenient, it tastes good, and you are absolutely ravenous. You need to have a snack food. Okay, well, let's have larger portions at your regular meal timings. Let's go for bigger portions there because that's why you need to snack because your actual meal sizes aren't big enough and then that you're reaching for a snack. So go for bigger portion sizes and complete meals. And I like with myself, if it's not a complete meal, I don't eat it. Like I'm not going to just have a random bar. Like I will have a complete meal. So if I'm having, let's say a protein bar on the run, I'll have two pieces of fruit with it as well and try and make it a completely balanced meal. Or let's say I go and get some deli meat from the supermarket, I'll buy a ready-made salad to go with it. And therefore, I'm not just having the protein deli meat, I'm having a complete meal. I think that's the key here is have a complete meal, avoid the snacking, or have a complete meal. And then let's say you do want the, I don't know, a Rice Krispie Square or something. And have that at the end of your meal. Don't try and jam it somewhere in between when you feel like hunger's coming up, because it's likely it's not hunger. It's just a craving or a hit of boredom that's got you, and you just want to fill your mouth to fulfill the boredom.
Yeah, because the thing is, I know people are like, oh, I wasn't hungry at all. And then as soon as I ate, I just became hungry. It's like, yeah, well, that's you're telling your body to now salivate. Like, even thinking of food, you're like, oh, yeah, I could do me with some of them. And that's the thing. It's just like, you got to keep that under control. And look, there are going to be times where you are maybe staying late at work and you haven't had your complete meal for like 4 hours and you're not going to get home for another couple of hours. Maybe then you can go and have a nice snack. So then you aren't full on overeating and stopping at like a Macca's or whatever on the way home. That I can see a benefit to. But again, that does come down to pre-planning when if you are going to like be late somewhere, sometimes things do come up. But you got to kind of plan ahead for that and maybe have some healthy snacks in like your bag or whatever when you are at a said job or whatever.
Okay, that pretty much covers all of food. Now, tip number seven involves hydration. Now, our bodies are pretty bloody clever, but occasionally they can mistake thirst for hunger. So make sure you stay hydrated. Now, there's a couple of benefits to this. Obviously, our body is predominantly made up of water. So to run efficiently, we need to be consuming enough water. Two, water will also take up space in our stomach. Therefore, help keeping us fuller for longer, fighting off hunger, which, as we've mentioned several times, very key for sticking to a diet. And three, the more water you drink, the more times you'll be getting up to go to the toilet, which means you'll be burning more calories and getting up and going to the toilet. So staying hydrated is really key for sticking to a diet because one, you just run more efficiently as a human. Two, you will be fuller for longer, fighting off hunger. And three, you just burn more calories going to pee.
That third one is great. Yeah.
Yeah,
Yeah. Staying hydrated. Yeah. People do, I think, if you don't have like a water bottle on hand, it can be, you might not notice it until a little bit later on during the day, and you maybe start to get headaches or flushes or something, especially if it's like really hot, depending on where you live in the world. I think a lot of people, when they come into like winter, they don't have as much water, and obviously you're not sweating as much, but it's still, dehydration is a real thing, and it can, like, even just like 5% dehydration can cause some sort of issues with certain people as well. So that's why it is good to get over, like, not over hydrated, but it's like make sure you are in front of the hydration. And that's where the food also comes in with the whole foods, because a lot more whole foods will have water in it as well, which keeps you hydrated as well. Because if you are having more of the highly processed foods, there's not a lot of water. I doubt there's many water in a lot of these highly processed foods, because through the processing process, a lot of the water does dissipate. So it is important to stay hydrated, and with electrolytes as well. So if you are going for the whole foods, remember to make sure that you do salt your food, so then you aren't also getting headaches too. Because I've also seen that of people eating like shit, and then they're like, "Ah, oh, start the diet Monday," and then they just cut out all the shit, and then like, oh, I got massive headaches. I couldn't stick with it. So maybe that's because you're not hydrated, and that just doesn't just mean having water. That actually means having electrolytes within that, salt, magnesium, potassium, all those kind of good electrolytes. There's a couple of them, more than a couple.
They're the main three, though.
They're the main three, probably.
Yeah, I think this is probably one of the most overlooked of all the previous points we've mentioned, because people think about food and when they're going to eat, but people don't think about, okay, I should probably have something to drink now. It's more of like an afterthought of like, oh, okay, I'm feeling thirsty now, I'll have something. Whereas with food, it's like, oh, I haven't eaten in a while, I should probably have something to eat. But I don't think people do that with water. So stay on top of it. Like you said, you're best off having too much and getting ahead early on in the day than having to try and play catch up. One, if you're trying to play catch up later in the day, you're going to be waking up in the middle of the night to pee. And two, you can run into headaches, lethargy, shitty performance, shitty cognitive function if you don't get insufficient water beforehand. So I'd like to get ahead of it really early on in the day. First thing I do, wake up, go to the toilet, weigh myself, and then I chug water to the point where I feel like I'm rehydrated plus if I can. So yeah, I think it's really key, and it is often overlooked. Like you said, the amount of people are like, oh, I've got a headache, and I'm like, oh, how much have you had to drink today? Oh, not much. That could probably be it. So it's a classic couple thing, I feel, as well. Like as soon as the partner's like, oh, I've got a headache, how much water have you had to drink today?
Yeah, exactly. And the thing is as well, this will be more permanent because you are on a diet right now. Like, you are lowering food, which lowers the water content. So very, especially if you go on low carb, like even more important, because those carbohydrates will pull like 3 to 4 grams of water out of your muscle bellies, and it's like looking quite depleted there, mate, without any water. So yeah, very, very important. And you just more water, more pumps, I guess. Just pump it up when you're in the gym.
Yeah,
Like,
exactly. Play
helps.
play water hydration plays such an important role in your training performance as well, which is something that you want to keep as elevated as possible whilst you are dieting, to preserve as much of that important muscle mass as possible.
Yeah, and just not thinking about it too much. Like, if you can just keep ahead of it, like maybe just have a glass, or just have like a water bottle next to you. If you can just stay ahead of it, so that's another thing you don't have to think about. Because if you're like, you're already dieting, so you're already in a stress state, and then you're doing your work or whatever, you're like, fuck, now I gotta go get a water and stuff like that. Whereas if you just had the bottle on hand, nice and easy. Just a little sip, keep working, done.
Yeah, easy. That's at changing your environment, like we discuss regularly. Okay, and the final point, and that is to look at your calorie allotment over the course of a week and not just day to day. So let's say you have an event on and you go over what your calorie target is by, say, 500 calories that day. Oh no, man, I've messed up on my diet. I'm just going to throw this whole thing away. Hold on, cool your jets. Yes, you've gone over 500 calories on that one day, but let's say over the next 3 days, you save 150 extra calories per day, and therefore you balance back out. You've maintained a calorie deficit. It's just lower on some days, and you've gone over on other days. So rather than viewing it as a day-to-day thing, look at it over the course of a week and how you can spend your caloric budget over the course of the week rather than just day-to-day.
That's why I love averages. Like, you could say, oh, I eat, 1,000 calories, but it's like, well, you may eat 1,000 calories one day, and then the rest of the day it's like 4,000 calories. So yeah, it's I like going lower on the during the week, like Monday to Friday, and then on the weekends I like to increase the calories a bit more, just because I'm out with the missus, there's more food, there's going to be more error if I am tracking on the diet due to eating out or whatever. So I just like, it's better just banking them throughout that day and just knowing that, like knowing what your regular days are. Like, do you have a date night on Tuesday night? Maybe those are the days that you need to like increase your calories there, ever so slightly. But it's just like, you need to look at these kind of diet strategies long term as well. Like, yes, there's going to be some unsustainable habits throughout your dieting, but it's like, how long can you sustain those unsustainable habits for one? And two, like, is it teaching you good habits long term as well? Like, this tip of, banking your calories and having more calories on different days is a great tip for long term, because you're inevitably going to go to a dinner, you're inevitably going to go to a birthday party or a festival or whatever. Church that might have like little nibblies there, all sorts of things. So it's a overall picture, just like with the weight that we talk about. Like, you can't just take one data point and think that that's the be all end all. Like, I weighed this at this certain time. It's like, there's so many different factors that go into this. And again, you don't know exactly how many calories you have. Like, it's our best guess, and we try and get specific, but there's like, unless we took that exact food, burnt it, checked out how many calories it has in one of those bloody machines, you won't know. So, and then your energy out is just like even more harder to predict. So that's why we like our averages, so we can kind of see the trends from day to day and then adjust as we see fit.
Yeah, average is a key. Body weight, calories, protein consumption. It's what you're looking for. You're just looking to c control them as much as possible over the course of a week, a month, 2 months in order to achieve your result.
Yeah, and your
Now,
steps.
yeah, with the 8 points we've mentioned above, they're all food hydration related, but that's not the only component towards sticking to a diet. You obviously need to be held accountable or have someone to hold you accountable. You need to manage stress. You need to make sure you're prioritizing recovery and sleep. You need to make sure you're still lifting weights and training hard. You need to make sure you're still hitting a step count. There's all these other factors. These are just 8 points regarding the nutrition aspect of sticking to a calorie deficit that we see commonly amongst clients and that we feel could benefit the people listening now. So, smaller deficit. 2 grams of protein per kilogram of lean body mass, 12 to 15 grams of fiber per 1,000 calories, adjusting the macros to suit your preferences, having regular meal timing, avoiding snacks, staying hydrated, and looking at your calories over the course of a week rather than day to day are all tips that will help you ultimately stick to your calorie deficit for a long enough period in order to achieve results. Because that's the key, right? Adherence is the key. You can have the world's most perfect plan, but if you do it inconsistently, it's not going to achieve anything. But if you can have a mediocre plan and you nail the consistency aspect, you'll achieve better results than the perfect plan done inconsistently. So adherence is ultimately the key. Anything else you'd like to add?
No, the adherence is the base. It is the bee's knees that, like, you can set out a plan, but if you don't adhere to it, then what are we doing here? Like, you could have people come to you like, yeah, I stuck with the plan. It's like, well, okay, let me rephrase that. Like, how many of the meals, of the 21 meals, did you eat on plan? Oh, about five. What? It's like, no, you didn't stick to the plan. So it's like, how often did you track? It's like, oh, at least like 1 or 2 days at least. But, okay. The plan is we got to track every single day for 2 weeks. That's the plan. Like, can you stick with that? Yes, good. Now let's go back in 2 weeks. And if you've adhered to that, then great. Then we can actually see a proper, like, what's actually going on. If you didn't adhere to it, then you got to look at why you didn't adhere to it. And then we work on those problems right there. It's just like you're solving for one problem and then you try and do it. And then we come back and we go, all right, well, this didn't work. Why didn't it work? So now you're working on this problem. So it's just like problem solved left, right, and center. Once you fix one thing, another thing will break. It's just the way of life. So adherence is obviously the biggest one. So if you can adhere to these principles and adhere to your actual deficit, then you will see results.
Yeah. Bottom line,
Bottom
adherence.
line, adherence.
Adhering to a calorie deficit for a period long enough in order to achieve results. Bottom line. And it doesn't matter. Let's th throw that out there as well. It doesn't matter how you adhere to that calorie deficit. Just make sure you're eating sufficient protein and that you're adhering to it. And then Bob's your dad.
Bob is me dad.
All right, so that's a wrap for today's episode. We just want to say thank you so much for listening to us. Now, if you got any value from this episode, we would love it for you to share it to your Instagram story. Don't forget to tag us at brain.body.movement, at Brad Dapper, and at Brock_Dalgleish so we can say thanks. It would also mean the world to us if you shared it with family and friends and left us a 5-star review. It helps us to expand, get into more people's ears, and ultimately help others. But before we go, if we can leave you with a few things, make your damn bed, get your steps in, and be kind to one another.
Cheers. I doubt there's many water in a lot of these highly processed foods because through the processing,
Water is extracted.
yeah, through the processing, fucking whatever you call it. What would you say after processing? After the process, after it's processed, I guess. Yeah. So after it's pr after the
Through
foods are
the processing
processing,
process.
pro yeah, exactly. Yeah, I guess so. Yeah.